This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.com. FM to get started.
Nancy, you're a cheater, and we see it, and we all know it. Or at least I do. Also, guys, we're talking about Stranger Things Season 2, Episodes 6 through 9.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
So I got that in there before anybody could backtalk to the Nancy being a cheater. Guys, I'm Roxy Stryer. You can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer alongside Zach Wilson.
Hey, guys, find me all over the internet at that Zach Wilson. Very excited to talk about this episode.
Cool shirt, man.
Yeah, it's my, if you're listening to this, I have my t-shirt that is the moon as a waffle, and then it's the ET shot, but it's... it's Mike and Eleven.
And then if that wasn't cool enough,
for the waffle moon,
you also have a pin.
Yeah, I have a Stranger Things pin.
Like, how long have you been preparing for this moment?
He's ready
to rock.
I
that.
Actually was like, I was ready.
You're so ready. Guys, so next ready. To him, Ivana Williams.
Hey everyone, it's Ivana Williams. You can follow me on Twitter at Ivana L. Williams and on Instagram at Ivana.Williams.
And she finally decided to show up. Tiana Hansen.
Hello everyone. Thank you for having me back. Happy to be here. Nancy's not a cheater. And you can find me at the Tiana Hobson on Twitter and Instagram.
I want to come back at you so bad right now, but before I do that, I feel like we should just talk about episode 7. It's kind of the elephant in the room right now. No matter what your thoughts are on it, people seem to be flagging it. It seems to be the episode that brought us from 8 from last season to 9 this season. It doesn't have that much to do with the story, so let's talk about that, and then we can get in to the rest of the show. Okay. Episode 7, yay or nay across the board. Zach, what are your thoughts?
I say yay.
All right, Ivana.
Are we doing just yay?
Yeah, just yay or nay.
I mean, yay. Yeah.
T?
Meh? Neutral?
Leave it to T. I asked for a yay or nay, and I get a meh. Because it doesn't even rhyme. At least say may.
May? Be?
Okay, me too. I'm may. If I can choose may, I'm may also.
She did all that. She's like, yeah, me too.
Well, I got mad about it, but then I was like, she's totally right, so I'm just going to copy what she did. It was so strange. At least I knew it was coming, though. Did you guys all get that spoil from other people that episode 7 was going to be different?
No.
No, I actually was... because literally the moment we left the studio last week, I went home and watched all 4 episodes.
Yeah, you had to.
I had to, because I can't go into my office without having seen whatever just happened that weekend. It will be spoiled, though.
Yeah, the water cooler talk is not just by the water cooler.
Yes.
It's everywhere. So you didn't know, but you were happy with it.
Yeah, I like universe building. And that's all this was. This was the little, like, we're going to expand the world just a little bit. So that, like, when we do it in a big way next season, you're used to it. And they teased us with that episode, the opener in episode 1 being about 8. Mm-hmm. So she had to come back.
Yeah, that's true.
I would have been mad if they didn't bring her back in some way.
I had been looking for her and trying to see where she was going to fit in her return. I just
where were you looking, T?
Well, just every episode
like
after...
like in your bedroom?
Under my bed, mostly. I mean, I just was looking for her.
Hello, 8, you down there?
Every episode that I watched, I was like, okay, when's she going to come back? When is she going to be back involved? And how is she going to help us in our current situation? So why I'm a may on this is because I love the episode as its own entity. I did not love it as a part of season 2 of Stranger Things.
Like, you would have watched this movie.
Yes.
Did you think it, like, interrupted the
story? It interrupted everything. As right when I'm like, yes, we're getting answers, we're moving forward. And then I'm like, okay, this is great. And I love that we're exploring more with Elle and where she came from and her background and the sister scenario. But all I kept thinking of was, how does this have to do with anything that's going on in Hawkins right now?
How do you guys feel about the sister? Do you like her as a character?
I like her. I don't know. I felt kind of neutral because there's certain parts that I do like about her. Like, okay, Eleven is finding more of her family, so to speak. But I didn't like how she pushes her so much to the point, like, she's still a kid. Like, she's younger than you. And I think that the sister pushed her in a negative way sometimes.
Am I the age barometer if he is younger than me, kid?
I mean, she's what, 16?
I mean, she's like, you know, 12, 13. And just, you know, when she's trying to push her to kill the doctor and stuff too, that's kind of why I was like, nah, I don't know.
I mean, what I liked about this story, though, like this little plot line, because this was, yes, it's not about the Mind Flayer and everything that's going on with the Demo Dogs and like other like
love that name by the way Demo Dogs it was so
that's
good
what they are. But this was a key moment in Eleven's story,
absolutely,
and like the sister was basically what would have what Eleven would be if she hadn't found this group of kids, like if she had been found by people by like people like these punks, like that would be her, like no question, because she was a blank slate that was going to be molded to whatever like world she was introduced to, and lucky for her she got introduced to these amazing friendly little nerds,
yes,
who were going to make her the best version of herself. But she easily could have fallen the way that 8 did.
It was kind of a sliding door situation here where we did see the path she could have taken, and I really liked that. But I don't know. The verdict is still out on this sister, because what I did like that the sister said was, even if you're going to make your own decisions, do not keep me from making mine. After Eleven had made it so that the sister couldn't hurt him, you know, and she had thrown the weapon out the window. Mm-hmm. And I did like that she wasn't saying, Eleven, you have to do what I'm telling you to do. She was just saying, if you're not going to, then don't keep me from living by my set of rules.
Yeah.
Which I think is a powerful statement. Thing to say.
Yeah.
What did you think about the rest of the
Misfits?
Yeah,
but she's saying it like, yo, you don't have to murder this guy, but don't stop me from murdering this guy.
Yes.
Like, no, if but I want her to murder, letting, I'm gonna murder. But Eleven letting her murder this guy is just as bad. So this is Eleven making her stand, her choice.
This is a millennial perspective when you think that the bystander is as bad as the bully. The bystander is not as bad as the bully.
It's, not as
you're,
bad.
You're bad,
but
you can't say that watching somebody murder somebody is the same as murdering them.
I'm not saying it's the same, but I'm saying like Eleven's, the choice is not just like, well, you can do your own thing, but you have to let me do mine. Eleven is free to stop you from doing something that she considers bad.
It was pretty.
This is like,
sweet,
I was going to go to the mall with my friends, and you're going to stay at home, and that's fine. This is like two active decisions that will have a big impact on somebody else.
Yes.
So, I don't know. I don't agree with the logic. I like this as this. I like 8 as a character. I'm interested in her. I want to know more about her.
How baller was it when she made them not see the entire group so they could escape?
Oh, my God.
I was like, how are they going to get out of this? And when she did that, I was like, you the best.
Yeah.
I need you
all the
time.
And then she made that thing come up, that wall come up from the ground.
That was pretty cool.
What?
That's why I'm with T, where it's like the actual episode was sick.
Yes,
it was. There were some really cool things. But I was like, where's Dustin?
Yeah.
And
I miss Lucas.
And the and the payoff of what we got for Elle, you know, realizing how strong she can be and, you know, ultimately that being able to get her to close the door.
Yeah,
we could have got from somewhere else is all that I was thinking.
Really?
For a whole episode to revolve around this one thing that we got out of it, we could have found a different way to get her to that point without it being the whole episode.
I don't know. I like just having this solo adventure for her to go out. If we were watching this week to week, a lot of shows do this.
Yes.
Where we take an episode and it like some people will call it filler, but I call it just like a standalone episode. Like this isn't quite a bottle episode because we're like in a lot of different places, but it's sort of that. It's just especially in a sci-fi show, it lets you build out the lore here. And like the fact that 8 had all these had a very different set of telekinetic powers, I'm now so intrigued to meet the rest of the Hawkins 11, as I'm going to refer to them.
Could be more.
Yeah. Well, no, because like 11 was the most recent kid there.
We don't know how they number things. I mean, it did
they
feel
started
pretty,
at 40 and then went back to 1.
Yeah, the episode did feel pretty random, but it served a really good purpose. And like you said, in the end, where it helped her, she found a way to channel all her anger to close that wall. Like, what if she hadn't met her sister who taught her how to channel yourself and your anger and use all your strength to move something, to close something? So, I don't know. It did feel kind of random, but it served its purpose.
Can I throw in something real here?
Steven, no. In the booth? Yeah, what's up, Steven Lemieux?
I just want to point out that one of the biggest pieces of information we get out of this episode is that Dr. Brenner is still alive.
Yes.
That's true.
So, you know, you say it could have stopped at 11. She's the most recent. But you don't know that he's not somewhere out there with another new kid on the block.
Hey, see, that's a better point than we don't know how they number things. Look, I'm going to go with what he just said.
This is all building up to we're going to get the Hawkins 11. And if there are going up here, this is going to be like straight out of like of Logan. But we're going to get all the Hawkins 11 are going to have to come together in some sort of like, and we're going to meet number one, and they're going to basically be Charles Xavier. Bring all these people together, and they're going to have to go up against 12, who is like the most
horrifying badass
person yet. It's going to take all of them working together.
Where do you guys stand with the mom, Terry, and the aunt? Like, I don't know what to make of this situation right now. Do I trust the aunt?
I don't.
No,
yeah,
I don't trust her.
She's
I just
so weird
don't.
To me.
I don't know whether it's her face or the way she speaks or the phone call she's making in the corner. You're shady.
Yeah, she is. I feel
and
like
you
she
don't
knows,
have a name.
I feel like she knows more than she wants to admit, and she won't tell 11.
Wait, shady how? She like...
Because when you do shady things, you're shady.
Okay,
what
but
was shady?
She's stepping outside. She's making phone calls. And,
okay, wait,
and also, I still feel like she knew 11 was alive and lied to Terry about it. I do.
I feel that too.
I do. Yeah. Thank you.
When did she know that 11 was alive?
I don't know if she did, but I'm guessing.
So I don't know what you guys are talking about, but I didn't trust the aunt until she made that phone call. When she made the phone call, it was clear that she was calling the Hawkins police. She was trying to get a hold of Hopper and. Joyce, because they are the ones who visited her in season one. So then I was like, okay, maybe she isn't a bad guy, because at first I thought she was calling a lab to come get her. But when I figured out that she was calling Hopper, I was like, okay, I get it. She's not a bad person. But before that, I did not trust her.
I was never suspicious of this woman. Like, from her perspective, her sister was, her sister gave birth to a stillborn child.
I don't think she thought that.
That's what the sister, you think she's lying
yes.
about that.
I think she knew. Yeah.
But what gives you,
here's the deal, Zach. This season, there have been two shady people. One was the aunt, and the other was Bob.
Bob
was no longer shady. He was proven to be innocent, and I feel really guilty.
Bob,
we usually, had a bunch of theories about
we
Bob.
Had two.
Yeah, y'all did.
But usually when there's two shady-ish people on a show, and one of them ended up not being shady, the other one, shady AF.
I didn't consider her shady at all. She was just like... trying to take care of her sister, and then this child that she thought was dead just showed up.
If you don't think she's shady, if you sat under a tree, you wouldn't know what shade was.
Yeah, but Roxy, she called after she had witnessed the powers and things happening. So it wouldn't make sense for her to betray her at that point. If she had called before that, I would have been like, okay.
I don't think
she's
so.
She's scared. Yeah. She's going like,
she was confused.
What
it
the
took
hell
her a long
just
time.
Happened in front of me?
She's
I
like,
think the most
I
frustrating thing of this episode was seeing 11 go after 8 and then not realizing that like 8 has mental... like brain powers, like eight,
okay.
The mom wants her to get 8 because 8's the only person who could help the mom.
And because 7, 8, 9.
Oh, that's terrifying.
All right, moving on.
Yeah.
Really
she couldn't
seven
help
yet.
It.
So we don't know it. If 7, 8, 9. Thank you. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. All right, so moving on from episode 7, which was its own entity, going on to a topic that I know we're all going to agree on. Nancy, I see you.
No.
I
what?
See you, Nancy.
No.
I don't. Okay, well, okay.
You are a cheater? And I saw it happen, and you had sex with the Jonathan,
whoa.
And you were still with the Steve.
Was
they
she,
broke up.
Was
they did
she
not
though?
Break
here's
up.
Thing.
We were
okay.
on a break.
This is my turn to be, like, in the middle of this conversation. Like,
you do it.
Here's the thing. We never saw them, like, be like, we're done. They never, like, said the words, like, we're broken up, like, we're done. But I think it was understood by both parties that they were done.
No.
Okay, first of all,
especially by high school standards.
It's high school. Is it really cheating if it's in high school?
I can't believe that none of you are on my team. This is crazy. If you have one boyfriend and you have sex with a boy that isn't your boyfriend, then you cheated on him.
But I thought she broke up with Steve.
No, she just didn't say I love you.
When she was drunk, she said their whole relationship was bullshit.
Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
Like, he straight up said, like, so you don't love me. It's bullshit. So if I'm Steve, I'm thinking we're broken up.
Well, maybe you should clarify. That's a clarification question. Excuse me. Meanwhile, you might think our relationship is bullshit, but also, do we still have one?
Ian in the chat. So what are we? Is saying, shame, Nancy, shame.
Yes.
So there are people on your side.
Yes.
Okay.
Not so the OJs right now.
Leave Nancy.
This is how I feel. And even if they were broken up, the body's not even cold yet. You gotta have
sex. Not dead.
You're telling me you're at this random investigator dude's house who's sketchy and weird AF, and he tells you that you guys have feelings, so you think it's a good time to get it on so he doesn't have to sleep on a pullout?
Look,
Steve, that was such a funny exchange, though. I was laughing.
And not even that, the creepy old man is also boozing them up. So I was like, I don't know if he's trying to get in bed with them right now.
Yeah,
like,
wanted to poke him for sure.
I didn't trust him.
No.
I was like, girl, leave
those
now.
Those glasses. You can't trust that. Yeah.
The house.
Okay, so he was shady too. And Jonathan's also kind of shady. So maybe they're all just shady, rubbing off on each other's shade.
Can we talk about the other bomb that was dropped in that episode, though, where Nancy tried to get with Jonathan after season one?
Yes.
Like, that was a huge bomb to drop. Because we, at the end of last season, we're like, oh, she went back to Steve after all that character work with Jonathan. No, she didn't just go back to Steve. She was like, Jonathan, I'm interested. And Jonathan was just like, no, I got to take care of my brother. I'm going to go take pictures of nature.
Okay. And by nature, I mean women. Who may not be changing.
He learned his lesson, I'm outside. I think.
Yeah. Oh my god, I saw some of the comments in the YouTube last week being like, what are you guys talking about? He never took pictures that are nudies. By nudies, I mean when you are unaware somebody's taking a picture of you and you are partially nude.
None of the pictures that we saw had any nudity in them. It was,
oh my god, here
by
we go.
The TV
yes.
standards.
Yes.
He was taking inappropriate photos of her. It doesn't matter whether he caught what he was trying to catch.
M10, 10th. Roxy, shut up with the pictures.
I can't let it go.
But okay, but so here's, so at after all this,
yeah.
Do you ship Nancy and Jonathan? That's what I feel like we need to ask.
Oh, you gotta really enunciate those P's. Do you ship
Nancy and Jonathan now?
No, I want Nancy to be
I'm
with
neutral.
Steve.
I don't care.
I love Steve. I almost want Nancy to be with Dustin more than Jonathan.
No,
no to Nancy and Jonathan.
No, because Steve done a lot growing up in the last year. He deserves him a girl who is gonna
not cheat
love
on him.
Steve,
I agree.
Steve.
I agree. Steve's the man. Steve is not afraid to wear Farrah Fawcett in his hair, and therefore, we love Steve. Yes. Yes. I love him.
So, I enjoy Steve. I like Steve a lot more this season than I did last season.
But
last season, he was a straight-up tool, and this season, he really, his character has redeemed himself in a lot of ways.
He's actually gone through stuff and come out, like, the other side, taking, like, introspectively, looking at himself, like, I need to be a better person.
I'm not a good boyfriend.
I can be better.
I'm
but
a good
I
babysitter.
Don't think that Nancy and him should be together. I think Nancy and Jonathan sort of deserve each other.
Okay, maybe not today. I'm talking season 10. This is a Rachel Ross
situation.
Wait a
minute.
I don't need a Rachel Ross
situation. I'm in a Rachel Ross situation. That's where I am. That's my mindset.
Okay.
I love Steve. I love Steve and Dustin.
Yeah, hold on.
I care more about them.
Steve and Dustin are OTP.
Cute. They legitimately are. I love them so much.
Yeah.
Steve and Dustin. Dustin, by the end, which we'll talk about more, but loving Steve so much that he does his hair that way.
Yes.
Like, this relationship.
Oh, my God. I was like, what
so
is he
good.
Got to do with his? Of course he does his hairstyle.
If you are Steve in this situation and Dustin comes to you with what he did, would you believe him? Like, Steve kind of just went all in.
Yeah, he did.
That was crazy.
But Steve also has been through it before last season with them, so he has the mental capabilities to believe everything that Dustin's saying. That's true. At this point.
That's true.
And I'm like you said, I was so happy that he bought the hairspray, because in my notes I wrote, like, I need to see Dustin using Farrah Fawcett hairspray by the end of this season.
When we finally went to that underground cellar or whatever you call those things, did you think that the Demogorgon would be inside anymore? Or did you think that it was going to be gone for sure?
When they opened up the...
In the
underground cellar thing.
I thought...
No, that thing that Dustin had put him in.
The storm cellar.
Yeah. Storm cellar.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be in there, but until, when it didn't immediately pop out, it was just like, oh, there's something, there's a twist here.
That is so... Imagine, how strong you have to be to do what that Demogorgon did. It got itself through the earth. All the way through. Like, that was insane looking. You made a tunnel.
I mean, I get the sense that the Demodogs, carved all of those tunnels.
Yeah.
That made up the map.
Yeah, they've been real busy. That surprised me. I thought that the Demogorgon was playing the smart game here, and they were going to tap on the thing, and then finally when they went in, it was going to eat one of them. Because I'd been seeing on Twitter, that there was this big death. And I didn't know at this time that it was going to be Bob. So I was like, I swear to God, if you come for Dustin, I'm done.
You're done? Done with the whole thing?
If you come for my boy Dustin?
Right.
Are you crazy? If they had come for Steve, I would have been like, all right, I love him this year, but he deserved it from season one.
I'm sorry we suspected you, Bob.
I'm sorry,
yeah,
Bob.
Y'all apologize.
You guys should really apologize.
I was the Bob high. No. I knew he was sweet. I knew he was honest. I knew he was humble.
Wait, here's rewind the thing. Rewind the tapes. Ivana, I do not feel as if that's what you said.
I was like, okay, I get that y'all think he's shady because he was kind of like, I don't want to say the loser in high school.
Too nice.
But, you know.
Too nice.
Which is why he's going to be like, I can die. Guys. Out there, you know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna go back and watch that episode. I'm pretty sure you were like, Bob's shady.
I mean, he could be, but
we had a whole theory that Bob was working for the Russians. I knew that he was full of love. There's gonna be this whole twist.
What?
Just turned out Bob was such a good guy. Good guy Bob.
We're not even on good guy Bob. Good guy Zach Wilson. We'll get to good guy Bob.
To the viewers, I apologize for not being here last week to try and rein in their Bob ridiculousness.
Oh, hindsight is 2020. I'm sure you would have been with us too.
No.
So Steve and Dustin go about their adventures, and eventually they are joined by our friends Lucas and Max. What about this Max Lucas situation? Were you guys catching on at this point? Because last week we talked about how maybe there was going to be romance here, but maybe with Dustin and Max. Were you guys like, okay, at this point,
does he really like her?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they have a thing for each other.
Yeah.
I think it's really cute.
It's cute.
Yeah, it's cute.
Just thinking it's 1984 in a small town in Indiana in an interracial relationship might not be the best play
well,
for
we
you,
see
Lucas.
How it goes. Billy has an issue with it.
Billy,
so we know how it goes.
We think that's what it is. Like, that's one thing I was sort of... I wish the show would have just made a choice. Either make him racist or don't. Like, this middle ground where he's like, he has a problem with Lucas, but is not actually saying it, so I don't even know what his problem is.
I think that they did make a choice, because last time we did this show, I didn't know, but this time, when he finally does come in and and Max is with all the guys and he lifts up Lucas and bangs him against the wall, and he was racist. That was the choice.
Yeah.
I did not know last time because it was it was the only guy we had seen her with. So I was like, oh, he just not want him with guys? But then this time I feel like they hit us over the head with of the whole room of white dudes, he picked up the black guy.
Yeah,
and
it's very
bad.
I just figured it's because he'd seen this kid, this kid a bunch of times.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't like Billy. Billy's a shithead. Don't get me
wrong. Billy's just as bad as his haircut.
Interesting to see Billy's backstory a little bit, because you hear this all the time, and we've seen it to be true.
Their parents.
Usually the people who are abusing others were abused.
Absolutely.
And he's getting the crap kicked out of him. And it was so sad to watch, because it was like, how you raise your kids matters.
Yes.
It matters.
It's a cycle of violence. I mean, he was even saying the same things that his dad said, to him, because that's how he thinks a man is supposed to act.
He's definitely picked up the terrible behaviors and habits and stuff. So I knew as soon as I saw his dad throw him up against the wall, I'm like, there it is.
But that said, I don't know about this storyline. That's terrible and all that, but just as a piece of this show, I don't know what any of what Billy or their home life really did for our characters.
I feel like they have to have a bigger game plan here for next year, because I'm with you. Max was a great addition, but Max didn't have to have a brother, Billy, and Billy didn't have to be a piece of crap, and Billy's parents didn't have to be out of town, and Billy's parents didn't have to abuse him. There were so many things that were like, it was not a B story. It was a D story.
It didn't add to Max's character. And because Billy is not involved in our story except through Max, I don't care. That's the thing. It's like, I feel bad for these kids, but as far as our story is concerned, I don't care about Billy, and I don't care about his home life. Because other than the fact that Max is in a sort of shitty situation,
What about Billy kicking the living crap out of Steve? That was important because that did help move the story along. And we got to see where Steve's heart was, but also it caused Max to have to drive, the kids to have to take over, Steve to end up somewhere that he didn't want to be and probably wouldn't have gone anyway.
They're saying it was growth for Max, but I don't know that it really was, because she didn't really change that much because of it.
She
stood up to him
with a needle.
I'm just saying, we could have taken all that time that we devoted to Billy and his storyline, because it didn't go anywhere, and done something else for Max that would have been more interesting, and really could have and that character could have used a little bit more depth, and not just her brother's backstory, actual backstory for her.
Yeah. I do think, though, it is important that we did have somebody who looked at Lucas and Max's situation, or even Lucas in general, and said something, because this wouldn't be true to the times if nobody said something. Yeah. If there wasn't a racist character, it would just be oh, this was the perfect society back then.
And it's not.
And it wasn't.
Yeah, like you said, it's small town Indiana.
It's talk about world building, it made it more realistic to me.
Yeah.
Because here's this black dude hanging out with these white dudes, and nobody's ever commented on it in the episodes. You've got to have a piece of crap.
I was wondering too, because last season it did kind of seem like everything was just perfect, and I'm like, now wait a minute, so everything's fine? So I hate the racism, of course, but I was actually happy that they finally touched on it, and Luke was just like, why, I can't do this because I'm black. Or, we finally asking, okay, so Billy doesn't want Max hanging around Lucas because why? Because he's black?
You're talking about with the Ghostbusters thing.
We discussed that last week.
The Winston.
So maybe there is more to Billy's storyline that we'll see next season, or maybe he was just another part of the world building and seeing where people come from and a commentary on that. I'm not sure.
I saw his audition tape. The actual actor was Dacre Montgomery, I think, and he killed it. I saw his audition. Did any of y'all see that yet?
No.
You have to go and look when you get home. You have to go and watch his audition tape. It's hilarious. So I think with that, I think they're definitely going to write
some more. Maybe Steven can help us out with that.
Yeah, I think they're going to write some more in, and we're going to see more of him. I really hope we do. He played the hell out that character, and I hated him for it.
Yeah. Because if you look at him, he does not look anything like that character. No. He's
very handsome.
Handsome, buttoned-up kind of guy. Yeah. Yeah, he was great, and I also think that he really did help with Steve's character.
Yes,
We needed a piece of crap to put Steve in good light. We needed somebody to compare him to be like, oh, well, Steve's better than that dude. And I thought that was awesome. I was glad that Steve did get some punches in on him, but he did get the crap kicked out of him.
Here's a question from the chat.
What do we got?
For all of us. Did anyone else feel a bit weirded out when Billy started perving on Mike and Nancy's mom?
That was weird. No. I didn't understand.
Perved back?
Yeah.
How about Mike's parents are still the worst parents in the world? How about that?
Ever. Okay, but here's what I asked myself when I was watching. If you're Joyce, are you kind of also bad mom, not to your son, but to the other kids? You never inform any of the other kids' parents what's happening. Shouldn't you have picked up the phone and called Lucas's or Dustin's parents at any point?
That's
and been
funny.
Like,
I maybe thought of that.
You're just letting all of these kids be in danger for your son. That's kind of crazy.
But kind of selfish. In her defense, the first part of it, the other kids were off doing their own thing. She only had Mike with her, and Mike's parents knew that he was staying the night over there. They didn't know the extent of what was going on, but in her defense, she didn't have all those kids with her until shit hit the fan, and there's no cell phones readily available. like they are now. So,
well, yeah, because Nancy ripped the phone out of the wall.
Like, wait, we gotta hang on, guys. Hang on, my son's possessed by a demon right now. Let's stop everything. I gotta drive 20 minutes down the road to a payphone to call everyone's parents to inform them
that
a
Dimmadog is after everyone. I cannot believe you're standing up for her parenting skills in this.
I'm just saying, at least she's a parent who is around and involved in her child's life.
When
these other parents,
yeah, that's true.
I mean, Dustin's mom, awesome lady, loves her cats, but like that's it.
Note to everybody at the table, though, when we have kids and Tiana has kids and our kids go over to Tiana's to play, not safe. She is not calling to tell you if something hits
the
fan.
So we need to be there when our kids are there.
Oh, hey, guys, here's the thing. Yeah. My kids coming to y'all house. Yeah. I don't want extra babies running around, so.
Okay.
First things first, it's not going to happen.
So, all right, let's talk a little bit about the whole, I've been putting this off because, like, poor Bob. I keep pushing it, but God, the second that we were there, when we got to Hawkins, when that all was happening, I was like, crap, man. He's the only one who can do it. Really, you're the only one who speaks whatever coding language that was.
I mean,
we can't send Hopper. You know Hopper can keep himself safe. We got to send Bob. We got to. You can't teach somebody, man.
So after Hopper survived being stuck in the tunnels, and he didn't die, I was like, okay, it's got to be Bob next. In my mind, the whole season, I was like, you can't kill Hopper, you can't kill Hopper, but he got really close to it, so I kind of got nervous for a second. And then after he survived that, it's like, Bob's not coming out of this one alive. And they gave us a lot of hope throughout the whole thing. Yeah. You know, he made it there.
Into the closet.
He made it in the closet. He made it there. Joyce is like, hey, and I was like, don't stop.
Yeah, I got a problem, Bob. All right, you've been running out of this building. You get through, you're into the lobby. Why did he stop?
I hated that.
Why'd you stop, Bob?
You go all the way through the door, Bob.
You don't stop running until there's a steel door between you and the monster.
You grab Joyce's hand and you keep running with her.
What is with these people thinking that glass or a door keeps out a Demogorgon?
That annoyed me whenever the doctor was like, oh, don't worry, he can't get through the glass.
It's
you don't know this creature. He can, and then what happened? He got through the glass.
Obviously.
Like,
it's a Demogorgon. Like,
God.
Yeah, I'm with...
That really annoyed me.
I'm with Band Geek in the chat. I knew something bad was going to happen the moment the camera showed the gun that Bob left behind.
It did that close up. It was there.
Yeah,
I was like,
it was just like, oh, no. And then Bob got eaten.
Yeah. Bob was a really good
dude. They were chewing him down, too. And they wouldn't let it stop. Like, they just kept the camera on. I'm like, we get it.
They got a real good meal out of him.
We get it.
Like, a real good meal
out of him. All right. How did you guys feel about Dr. Owens as he was giving directions and everything that had happened?
It made me like him more because I was on the fence on him just because everything that we've been through with this organization with Elle, I really didn't know if I could really trust him or whose side he was on. I know he kept saying, I'm here to help, I'm doing the right thing, but I didn't believe it until he decided to stay behind to make sure everyone else got out.
Yeah.
I like Dr. Paul Reiser.
I know, I asked his name, and Zach was like, Paul Reiser? I was like, no, the character name. He's like, I don't know, Paul Reiser.
Dr. Paul Reiser.
Love it.
No, he was... I liked the way that they took this character because it would have been easy to just put in a new evil like face of the government organization to replace the one we had, like to replace Papa from last year. But instead we got this organization is not all evil. They are actually it's not that the entire government is evil. It's just that this small group of these men and women, this organization went off and did some bad things, like very extreme, trying to do do good research. This is the guy trying to do the same research, but from a place of good and not wanting to hurt people.
It was interesting to hear him talk to the entire room of people about whether or not to keep burning, you know, like, because we saw that it was hurting Will and whether or not to keep doing that. And that's when I started to come around on him because when they were like, he'll die. And he was like, I'm not okay with that. And everybody else was like, what do you mean that's the only option? And you could tell that he was the best dude in the room, for sure.
And then he's genuinely weighing the consequences of, like, this is a tough situation. If I do this, this kid will die. But it will make everyone safer.
Yeah. Oh, That I still think a little shady though. Like we're giving him a lot of credit. Well,
the doctor. Well, yeah. I still don't fully trust him.
He's doing the best he can, but he still works for a shady, like top secret government organization. Like he's not like all good. He's just the best of the bad guys.
Yeah, he was put into a situation where he had to come clean up this other guy's mess, not fully understanding the extent of what the bad people
the lesser
had done.
Of two evils.
Yeah, so, I mean, I get it, and I do think we're giving him a lot of credit, but at the end of the day, he did do the right thing in every step of every path he was, or every choice he had to make. He made the choice of the lesser evils, and he made the good choice. He didn't go to the bad places and do bad things to people.
He did what he could.
He did what he could to make the best out of a really shitty situation.
Rest we're giving in peace, him so Bob, much. Though. It's like we're giving know. Dr. Owens way too much. Bob.
Bob.
My boy, Bob.
Oh, he's your boy now?
Now he is. Now he is my boy. Once he's dead, he's my boy.
So next season when they introduce another character with a B name, just know they're going to die.
Yeah. Bob, and one Barb. Syllable. One yeah. syllable B's, you're screwed.
One syllable B's.
Barbs and Bobs. Well,
Billy
yeah.
made it out.
No, that's not one syllable.
Oh, it has to be one syllable.
Yeah. One syllable up. B. One syllable. Yeah, because Barb, I'm sure, is not short for anything that's longer than one syllable.
Probably
nope.
not.
Called yeah, by the nope. one syllable.
Bill. Bill is going to die yeah, next year.
Okay. I actually don't mind seeing Bill die because he's such a jerk.
Moving from Hawkins to the cabin. Wow, the cabin stuff had my heart pounding. Yeah. Like, when we were there, watching what they were doing with Will was flipping me out. Were you guys like screaming at the TV?
I was kind of on edge there.
I was so on edge.
Yeah.
That was scary stuff.
Yeah.
This is when it got like real horror real fast.
Yes. Yeah.
And this right. is when I got really happy because the kid who plays Will, Noah, last season we didn't get to see a lot from him. You know, we got to see
Boy Can Act.
Yeah, he had almost nothing to do last season. So, you know, we had Elle, who was the standout star of season one of Stranger Things, he brought it this season. He did a lot of things in every episode. And when that cabin stuff was happening, I was like, as a 14-year-old, however old he is, I wouldn't have been able to comprehend how to imagine my body going through the things that he is physically doing in this scene. That is some stuff that adult actors cannot do.
I had to keep reminding myself, like, this boy is acting this and he's killing it. That boy is amazing.
It was amazing to watch.
As a director, what do you say to a kid? Like, okay, now pretend that there's a thing inside you coming out and it's you're really hot and sweat and also scream and shake your whole body and cry.
You'd go through all of the, like, literally, like, what are the things that you're feeling as this happens to you? You feel a heat coming from inside you, and that heat slowly spreads. So start with a convulsion here and feel it as it goes out and into your limbs.
Thank you, director.
Watch the 1980s The Thing and pretend that you are transformed.
Yes, like put that on. Seriously. I think that also we talked a little bit about this last episode, but Mike is such a good friend. I am all about Mike and Will's friendship.
I need a friend like that, man.
So, like, stood by him so hard.
Yes.
It was crazy. Like,
spoke for him when he couldn't speak for himself. Yeah. When no one else was understanding what he was saying, Mike spoke for him. Yes. That's how close their bond is.
Why is it that every person who ever needs to know Morse code does? In any movie or TV show?
I thought you were going to
say that because I was just rewatching some episodes of Lost where the same thing happens and they're like, there's like beeps and people are just like, okay, and they like instantly know what the
Right. A, yes. C.
All of a sudden, like anytime somebody needs to know it to get out of trouble, they just do. Yeah. I'm starting to think that I should take a class.
Probably.
Like just in case it's demons in my body.
Because I thought Morse code was dead, but I think they're telling us something.
If you think that you might find yourself in a life or death sci-fi type scenario, Morse code is probably going to be important.
So I'm shocked that you haven't already started to learn.
It's more shocking to me that the adults knew the Morse code, not those kids.
It was Hopper.
Well, I can understand Hopper knowing it. I can understand the four boys knowing it because these guys are some geeky, nerdy kids who would teach themselves something like this mm-hmm. because they have their radio, so they probably talk to each other in Morse code all the time just for fun.
Yeah, sitting in class, like,
yeah, I could see them. It was like the Nancy and the Steve just jumping in and being like, yeah, we got this.
No, I think that they were getting taught. Like, I don't think everybody in the room knew it. I think a few did, and they were like translating yeah. and helping with yeah. the letters.
Yeah.
It was cool, though, that he was able to communicate like that, because if he had just been completely gone, I would have been hysterically sobbing, because I'd already, the tears had already
I was
started.
Already crying, so.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been through so much. Like, how is this kid not dead?
Here's a question with Will, though, and the chat is asking this as well. Just, like, what is it about Will that, like, has made him the target of the Mind Flayer and the Demogorgon or whatever it is that's coming from the other side? Like, I know he got taken last season.
Because he's so little.
But
I was kind of thinking he, out of the four boys, he's probably the weaker link.
Yeah. He looks meek.
Yeah.
Well, do you mean why he was taken, or do you mean why they're still using him?
Why he was taken. Like, is there something about Will that makes him the perfect vessel? Or because, like, a few of our people have been to the Upside Down now, but there's the Mind Flayer still, like, latching on.
Many of them haven't made it out alive.
Will. Yes.
So you can't use
somebody.
But a few
did, but, like, Hopper did.
Yeah, he wasn't there as long, though.
Yeah.
I don't know why he was originally targeted, but I do think that they keep using him because whatever he was is working.
So do you think it was just like we're just going to take this kid who's, like, by himself, and then now that he's here, I can, like, from the Mind Flayer going, just, like, I can use him to be the bridge to the other side, and, like...
That is the sense I get.
That's
the
Mind Flayer's exact
yeah.
thoughts.
Yeah.
I can use him.
So, like...
Yeah. I had this kid, and, like...
The Mind Flayer's alone over there. I don't even think there's anyone to right. talk to. He's got a bunch of dogs running around.
Exactly.
I do think that if he was chosen for a reason, I'm glad they waited this long to tell us, because I think that's something that can come up seasons down the line. Mm-hmm. We can learn it about him. He can learn something about himself, and that's mm-hmm. a whole different thing. Like, knowing that you maybe did something to make yourself more susceptible to being picked or whatever reason it is. I don't know whether it's his body temperature, his size, his age, his history, his family.
I think it's the size and age.
Yeah, and when you think about it, too, not that I think the Mind Flayer is thinking, or Flayer is thinking all this through that much, but he also is a kid who has a single mother who works hard and, you know, is rarely home. So these are the kind of kids that typically get targeted and, you know,
can
into
I throw
gays
in,
and stuff
yeah,
like
Steven,
that.
What's up?
To throw in why he's the one who's targeted by the Mind Flayer, I mean, I'm guessing, but I think it's because in last season he was connected to the underground through the tubes, and he was a incubation zone for one of the Demodogs.
Yeah, but why before that? Why was he originally picked?
Yeah, it makes sense
once he's gone.
It makes sense, but it's last season. Like, is there something? And I don't have an answer to that. It's just, like, an interesting question. Like, is there something about Will? Like, he's
yeah,
been
they cast him for
over 100.
Yeah, that he was cast when they were burning this thing out of his body, and Jonathan was like, "Mom, stop, stop it, Mom." I was going to slaughter him in his sleep.
Why?
Because I get it. You're having a hard time. But don't you think she's having just as hard a time? It's her son. Like, she was the one who hysterically went to outburst last season. Like, Jonathan, chill, bro. Or go outside.
Or go outside.
Well, get your shit together, yeah. Jonathan. We're trying to do something here.
He was in an emotional place. He just had sex for probably the first time, guys.
He's full of all these emotions.
Who was sleeping with Jonathan before?
Definitely the first time.
Oh, my God.
Definitely
but not
the first
hers.
Time.
Ooh, she took a V-cut. She took a V-cut. And now he's crying. Oh, Mom.
He's
mad. I don't know what just happened.
Sometimes I really miss hosting shows with you, Roxy.
Yeah, but like also let's eliminate the last 30 seconds of the show, Steven.
No, it's cool. On tape forever.
For life. Surprisingly, things end up pretty chill. Like, for all that we went through, I get that we lost Bob, but other than that, Eleven's able to close the portal. Everybody's able to go to this dance. Like, there was at one point when I'm watching the show and I'm like, I don't think things are going to turn out okay.
I think everybody's going to die.
It kind of worked out.
It did.
It really did.
I was halfway through episode 8 thinking, how is this going to wrap up in the next hour?
Yeah.
Right. Like, how is everything going to come to a circle? And I'm
all I kept thinking, in her, like, slicked back hair and leather jacket and is just like, I got this, yo.
That look is everything, by the way.
I loved her look. It was so cute. And it was so fitting. I'm like, yes, this is how she should be dressing.
Halloween next year. Mm, it was just a little too late for this year, but everybody's going to do the runaways.
No, I saw a couple people.
Really?
I saw at least one person.
With the slick back.
With the slick back. Aww. And I didn't know what it was. At the time, I was just like, oh, is that like a mashup with 11?
They had already binged the whole thing.
Understand? Yeah,
we were behind.
Yeah. Girl at my office shaved her head so she could be 11, and I'm just like, dang! If you had waited for the new season to come out, you wouldn't have had to shave your head for your costume.
You would just have to use a lot of hairspray.
Could have done the other look.
That kind of dedication is what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
like wow,
that's amazing.
Yeah, once we like sort everything out and we get to do just the teen romance, like cute little thing where everybody's going to the dance. I was like, this is such a different tone, but I'm so down for us to
hear. To fit in the John Hughes moment somewhere.
Yes. It still had me on edge because I felt like someone was going to break out at that dance. Yeah. Everybody thought it was chill. I thought something was going to go wrong.
Once we hit the 1 month later, I was like, this is going to be mostly fine. And then there's going to be like just like the slug like this from last year, like this little hint of like, death is coming for you. And that's exactly what we got.
Yes.
Well, because I was thinking the whole time, we still never saw that thing that he was drawing the whole time. You know, the thing.
Yeah.
Like,
The thing, the mind player.
I mean, we saw when it attacked him.
Yeah, but we never saw it, like, over the building, how he had drawn it.
You mean when Bob gave him that really great advice that he should just stay away?
Damn it, Bob.
I thought he was shady?
Like, but he was trying to help. Good guy Bob is just like, you know, when you have these bad dreams, you just gotta stand up to it. And it turned out that was the worst advice anyone's ever given. There is only
one good guy, and it's good guy Zach Wilson. Stop giving him your name.
Look.
But Bob is such a good guy. I feel bad for accusing him of being a Russian spy.
Yes, and Bob didn't Bob didn't know the extent of these nightmares. He thinks he's just having normal, regular kid nightmares.
Yeah,
he didn't think
there's any way that this kid's nightmares could actually be a real monster from an alternate dimension, which is slowly trying to leak its way into ours to destroy us all.
Idiot. How couldn't you
have known? Bob had no idea what he was getting himself into. What?
Yeah, nobody told Bob the truth.
No.
He had just figure it out as they went.
Yeah, he went along
with it. I bet Bob wouldn't have still tried to be with the Joyce Byers had he known
it was going to end up like this. All I'm trying to do is talk about the dance, and you guys want to just keep on talking about the scary stuff.
R.I.P. Bob. Go ahead.
Also, Bob. I get it.
Yeah.
Dance was so adorable.
Joyce and Dustin dancing together and her doing that was like...
Nancy, not Joyce.
Sorry. Yes. That would have been really weird. Nancy.
Because this wasn't?
Yeah. I mean, it was just extra weird.
It was amazing, and I love that she was teaching him how to dance, and she was like, okay, a little closer. Because that... girl that turned him down, if you're watching this and you're in that age range, don't be that girl.
Yeah, don't
That's
do
rude,
that.
Though.
That
is
so rude.
What is wrong with dancing with anybody? Like, there's never somebody who would ever ask me to dance and I would say no.
She treated him like he was just so icky and gross.
What high school did you go to?
No, I guess
magical
this happens.
Place is this where people don't say no.
Well, I just can't, but like, it takes up a lot of courage to ask someone to dance.
I feel you, bro.
But when 11 walked in, everything was okay. I was like, oh my God. They're so cute. And they kissed on the lips.
They did.
They did the lips kiss.
I wasn't sure if they were going to actually get a kiss in since... they got
because it got interrupted.
Yeah, they
last
got interrupted.
Time. Yeah,
I was like, are they going to do a High School Musical thing where we keep almost getting a kiss, but like we never get it until season 5 or something like that?
Yeah, no, we got it.
But we got it. And
she was kind of startled, but she was cute about it.
Yeah,
Lucas and Max, they were doing their thing, the dancing. He was really awkward about how he asked her.
I loved how he was practicing in the mirror how to ask her.
The hardest thing to do.
All right, practice.
Well, now I'm an adult and I've been rejected.
Go ahead, ask me to dance.
It doesn't hurt anymore. I'm numb to the pain.
Gee whiz.
That's so uncomfortable. What was Mike doing at the dance?
He was sulking because he missed Elle. He was just sitting by himself at one point sulking.
What was Will doing?
Will was dancing. Will got asked. The girl came to Will.
Oh,
remember? She was like, hey, zombie boy.
He's been through so much. Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, zombie boy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, so they all end up good.
Well, but that's the thing. Like, the three, like, Will, Lucas, and Mike all have, like, these girls that, like...
And Dustin as Nancy.
And yeah, well, Dustin had another guy's girlfriend come and dance with him out of pity.
It wasn't out of pity.
It was out of pity.
No, what she did for him was great. She set him up. Yeah, what she did for him was great. I'm not saying what she did was bad, because she sees this happen. She sees this kid who has gone through, he's like, I'm going to be cool. Look at this Steve haircut that I got, that I'm doing. And like, he works up the courage and goes and he asks, and he gets no. And then he gets no.
Yeah, but did you see that girl in the shot sitting by herself at the table?
Why? I thought he was going to walk up to her.
Why didn't you ask her?
Yes, I saw that.
He was being real picky.
Because Dustin... Well, that's fair if he was being picky, but...
She was sitting alone at a table. Go ask her.
I mean, Roxy, he is a star of Stranger Things. He can have... standards.
Great point.
First of all.
And at this point, he'd been rejected twice. So...
Yeah,
I'm not going to go for a third strikeout.
I'd get the girl sitting by herself.
No,
like,
at that age, the fear of rejection is really tough to just fight over. And he did. And he got through it. And he got rejected a bunch of times. That is not a good self-esteem builder.
Yeah. Just say yes. But
Nancy basically just... I love that she set him up. She's like...
She did.
We're going to dance. And then they instantly got that look from the first girl he went for, like...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, excuse me? What?
High school girls. Yeah, all it takes is one hot chick to dance with you, and then everybody wants you. Everybody's on Dustin's junk now.
And,
Nancy's just like, these girls are idiots. Yeah. You're going to be fine.
Yeah, and it's so true.
And outside the dance, I'm a Joyce and Hopper shipper.
Yeah, me too.
Right now, Hopper so
ooh, what's
a
the
Jopper.
Ship name?
I'm
Jopper.
Not feeling it.
They could be Jopper.
Jopper, I think Jopper. Yeah,
Jopper.
It has to be
Jopper. I'm feeling it because I liked Bob, but ever since he was like, remember how we used to sneak and smoke together in high school? I was like, Hopper's like got this fatherly bond going on. He was never there for his own daughter. He's there for 11 now, and he's feeling himself. He's like, yeah, Joyce, I'm going to put a baby in you.
Great point. Also, remember that time? Remember that time he, like, adopted her?
Yeah. And the talk they had in the car. Like, Hopper feels.
Yeah, talking about Sarah.
She has to wait another year. She has to, she has to live in that cabin for another year.
Yeah, we're going
to
pick up after that year.
Oh,
they are not putting
us
through that year because we do not want to see an angry 11 for a whole year. They're like, yeah, we'll see you guys in a year while we keep her in this cabin.
At least starts homeschooling her because the girl...
She needs an education.
We'll see her start, see her going to school with the boys and Max next year as Jane Hopper.
Yes.
That
his, like, unknown niece who he's adopted. That'll probably be where we pick up next year.
And then my favorite science sci-fi nerd, Zach Wilson, that end moment I know must have touched your little sci-fi heart.
All right, yes.
What's happening here?
Everything seems hunky-dory at the dance, and then we flip upside down, and the Mind Flayer is, like, standing over them watching.
That's cool, yeah.
I'm just
trying to figure
out... Get
away, we don't
out,
want you.
I'm trying to figure out, like, what... So they compare it to the Mind Flayer, like, the name Mind Flayer is, like, from the D&D character that they find, which the motivation from that character is that it's an interdimensional being who hops dimensions to take them over in just, like, a pure hunger to, like, take over dimensions and then keep going. I don't know how much of that we can take as, like, canon to this monster, but I'm just trying to figure out, like, what is its motivation just to take over our universe for, I don't know what, fuel or energy, or it just wants to kill? This is season 2. They've said, I think, that there's a 5-season arc planned. So we have to keep evolving it in some way. We went from, like, one lone little monster Demogorgon to... army of demo dogs, and then all being controlled by a creature that is intelligent enough to lay traps and, like, understand what's going on. So there has to be more happening here than we sort of know.
We shall see.
Are there more Mind Flayers out there?
I think absolutely.
An army of giant black smoke
monsters. I don't know if there are more, but usually where there's smoke, there's more mind flayers. So, yes.
I don't know if there's more, but usually where there's smoke, there's more. So,
so maybe. Any other predictions on what we're going to see at next season, friends?
Ooh.
More making out.
Who's doing the sucking face?
I want to see the boys kind of go from their awkward, nerdy phase to kind of finding their groove a little bit in high school. Maybe it's just Dustin at first because he's got Steve telling him how to do his hair and stuff. And, you know, but I want to start seeing them, like, have their own, like, cool little style. I think that Mike and Eleven, I think they are... They're in it for the long haul. I think they're going to be the kids who met when they were 11 and end up staying together. Max and Lucas, on the other hand, they're going to be on and off, and that's not going to last.
Ivana? I just want to say I'm going to be prepared for next season because, you know, I feel so bad about Bob dying. Because usually, like, in, like, horror and supernatural genres, like, based around that time, you choose, like, the kind or the virginal characters that make it all the way to the end, but they killed off Bob, just like they killed off Barb. So I feel like for next season, we're going to have another Bob Barb type character, and I'll know that person's gonna die, so I don't get too attached.
Their name will be Ben or Bill.
Exactly. Bill. Yeah, I want to see more of him. Eleven, and her sister's name is Callie, right? K-A-L-I is how it. Callie. Yeah. Yeah, I have Callie.
Say eight. It's easy to pronounce.
Yeah, but I mean, I was kind of, I hate to say disappointed, but I wanted to see more of Callie in the beginning, but we didn't get to until, like I said, we said episode 7. It's kind of like, okay, why? But she served a huge purpose, though, in really helping Eleven kind of, like I said, hunker down on that anger to close that stuff off. So I want to see what else she can bring out of Eleven. I want to see how she can help Eleven become more, because she's growing. She's going to be going through puberty. So I want to see how she's going to help her become more of a young woman.
And maybe just happy and not so angry.
Yeah, Zach, not so angry. Final predictions?
Yeah, I think next season we're gonna see the Hawkins 11, like the little X-Men team, get together. Maybe not all of them at once, but I think they're gonna have to. I could see a season 3 where somebody is trying to weaponize the Upside Down in some way. This thing was about to destroy everything. These demo dogs are vicious and practical, and like it's difficult to stop them. I could see somebody going up against the Department of Energy, whether it's the Russians because we're still in the 80s, or if it's Papa just like coming around, like going full evil, and then the Hawkins 11 have to band together to stop them because they have all these powers.
Yeah,
I think it. We'll probably be like sitting around waiting the entire season to find number one.
I love it. I steal all of these predictions and thoughts as my own.
Papa is number one.
I know that you guys in the chat right now, and if you're listening after the fact, are probably thinking, wow, there's so many things they were not able to cover. We didn't really talk much about Will betraying his friends and trapping them and all of that. There's a ton of things. There's just so much to talk about, but we are out of time. So you guys, keep the conversation going with us. Tell us all the things that we missed or that you want to hear our thoughts on Twitter. You can find me at Roxy Stryer.
I'm at that Zach Wilson.
And I am on Twitter at Ivana L. Williams.
At the Tion Hobson for me.
And as always, we're at AfterBuzz TV. We're also on YouTube, on iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever you are, we are. Give us that 5-star, that thumbs up. We love you. We love Stranger Things. Until next season.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.